It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news every morning. And you'll hear us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, of course, as well as Amazon. And it's a Friday, the 26th day for April. The weekend is nearly here, and I see a record high in housing costs is straining both renters and mortgage holders spending nearly half of their income on housing. That is according to the latest housing affordability report by ANZ and CoreLogic. Now, for households earning the median wage, rent consumes about a third of their income, while servicing a mortgage for a home at the national median price eats up almost half. That's right, we've been talking about that for some time. Half of the salary gone to the mortgage. High income earners are increasingly joining the rental market due to unaffordability in buying, which is a key stat to keep in the back of your mind. And CoreLogic's Eliza Owen highlights the widening gap, urging structural changes like increasing density near transport and potential tax reforms to hopefully address the crisis. And this morning on our Friday, we are catching up with Jemima Clegg, who is a freelance property journalist. And a very good morning to you, Jemima. Welcome to the Real Estate Breakfast. You're out there covering these stories on a daily basis and doing it for a few different organizations, I understand.
That's right. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I do. I work for View Real Estate at times, also working for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, among other publications. Very much, you know, across the board, looking at property news, and there's always something to write about.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask you about. A property journalist, if you go back 10 years ago, there might have been a property journalist mixed in with maybe a few other titles, but never has there been so much to write about as there is in 2024.
That's right. And it just keeps on coming because obviously, as you've said, these house prices continue to go up and up and up. The cost of either renting or buying a home is prohibitive for so many people. It's a huge problem. And I think it's really important that we continue to talk about it because we need some really big, big changes to the way that we both think about property in terms of how we invest in it, how we think about it in terms of, is it an investment or is it somewhere for us to live? I think a lot of the time people don't think about the value they get out of actually just living in their home, as opposed to what's it going to get me if I sell it in 5 or 10 years' time.
Yes, that is always in the back of somebody's mind is the natural gain from a property. But long term, I think even today in 2024, there's been somewhat of an adjustment, I think, in people's mindsets. And that adjustment is holding on to the property. And if you have a look at the housing affordability reports by ANZ and CoreLogic, this has actually shown that Australians are spending a record amount on housing. It's a hell of a lot of their income, isn't it, to keep this roof over their heads and sustain that long term.
It's huge. And you only have to look at two largest, well, it's actually not the two largest cities. You know, we usually do talk about it, Sydney and Melbourne, but actually in this case, of course, it's Sydney. Then it is Brisbane, I believe, after that. And then we've got
Adelaide.
Then Melbourne. Or Adelaide and then Melbourne, yes. But yeah, in Sydney, people are spending, you know, 59% of their income to service a new home. And in actual fact, it's closer to 60%. And yeah, you're right. Adelaide is 51%. and Brisbane 48. I mean, and all the cities, it is basically, it's half your income, essentially. In the past, what was considered to be an affordable portion of your income to spend on housing, whether that was rent or to pay your mortgage, is supposed to be 30%. And even 20% really is what is meant to be affordable. So these places are just completely out of reach for so, so many people.
Yeah, and that kind of brings me on to the fact, and I've said this before, I'm just absolutely astonished at how resilient people are for somehow managing to keep all of the cards up in the air without crashing down around their ears, because it is such a significant amount of money. We know that there's a lot of people, I said this just a couple of days ago, sleeping in tents, they're sleeping in their cars. This is called homelessness, and there's a reason for it, and that is because of the affordability crisis that we currently live in.
That's right. And, you know, it's made so much worse by the fact that because it's a trickle down effect, really, because what happens is that when house prices are so expensive, and when I say house prices, I mean property, so including units and town houses as well, when they are so, so expensive that the people who, let's say 10 years ago, would usually have entered the property market, they would usually have bought their own home, they are now forced to rent. It's this report. Report showed that there was a big increase in the number of people who have quite high incomes who have had to enter the rental market because they can't afford to buy. And so what happens is they're taking rentals away from people who earn less than them. And then those people are taking the less expensive rentals away from the people who earn less than them. And what ends up happening is you have an increase in homelessness or people sleeping rough, people couch surfing, all these sorts of things, because of the pinch at the top. It goes all the way down to the bottom and it becomes completely unsustainable. We know from this report, those people renting in the 25th percentile of incomes, and also they're trying to rent in the 25th percentile of rental properties. So they're not going for the median rent, they're going for the lower one. They're still paying 50% of their income, 54% of their income on rent. And that's a low income. It's just completely unsustainable.
Yeah, well, it's scary numbers just to keep that roof above your head. And we are talking on our Friday morning to Jemima. We'll come back in just a moment and talk about inequality. That's up next.
Decode the property market with insider knowledge and insights to better navigate your real estate journey on The Real Estate Podcast.
And right now it is time for another property tip, and we are going into Victoria and back to Mick Dolphin in Cockatoo. And Mick, you've got a really interesting tip, because when we spoke to you a few weeks ago, you were telling us about this abandoned property in Cockatoo. So your tip is, if you're going to be buying something that is abandoned, you've really got to make sure that your finances are in place and squeaky clean.
The bank will look at this property as vacant land, essentially, because the property is currently uninhabitable. So you need to have at least 80% mortgage or a 20% deposit plus costs. And obviously, when you're looking at a property like this, you've got to have a bit of a plan. You're going to need money to put into the property, and a bit of a contingency, because things always cost you a little bit more than you expect. So you need to be definitely speaking to the people with the money and making sure that you've got yourself set before you make the step forward and take the plunge.
Yes, because when you say contingency, because people are really scraping together their deposit for different properties, contingency in many regards is just such a luxury to have part of your proposal.
If you're going to build a house, I suppose, from scratch, you'd always look in there and say you've got a bit of a contingency for unexpected items that might come up. The last thing you want to be doing is stretching yourself thin, as say money is tight in these day and age with the rates going up and things like this. But you just need to have a little bit of a buffer and be, I suppose, slightly conservative with your estimations, or not stretching yourself to the limit.
Let's explore together the power of real estate. We keep you better informed and updated.
And it's a Real Estate Friday on this very abbreviated week, and we're talking about just how much money people are having to find to keep the roof over their head with Jemima Clegg this morning. There's no easy fix to this, as we know, but one of the big problems is the issue of wealth inequality, and I think the report just highlights the fact of just how big of a problem the crisis is when it comes to inequality.
That's right. And because what tends to happen is, obviously, we hear about it all the time. It's the bank of mum and dad. You know, if you have the ability to either get your parents to go guarantor for you on a mortgage or to lend you money or give you money to pay your deposit, or if you have had some sort of an inheritance, you are much more likely to be able to enter the property market. And so wealth begets wealth, and you end up just seeing that the wealth stays within the same families, in the same groups of people, because then obviously you enter the property market, you get yourself a little place, and 10 years from now, your property that you maybe purchased for, let's say, I don't know, now these days it's 800,000 or something, it's worth, you know, 1.6 million. And that is what we've seen happen again and again. People who are locked out of the property market are not able to build their wealth anywhere near as quickly or by as much as people who were given a leg up to enter the property market. One of the main things as well that I think is really important that a lot of governments, including the federal government, but state governments are doing it as well, is shared equity schemes. And it's something that I know Eliza Owen from CoreLogic has said to me when I've interviewed her in the past, that those schemes are quite good at getting people to be able to at least get into the market with a lower deposit. Because as we've seen, wages have not risen anywhere near to the extent that property prices have. And if you're a first home buyer without a leg up, you can't save for that deposit.
Yeah, exactly. And just before I let you go, I didn't ask you this. Whereabouts are you based in Australia? And what quickly are some of the observations that are probably pretty relevant for 2024 with regard to your market?
Well, I live in Melbourne. The Melbourne market has actually come down a little bit. It's still unaffordable, absolutely. But it definitely has, you know, I mean, it's usually the second most expensive city in the country. And we've seen that come off in recent, probably in the past two quarters, I'd say, or maybe even a little bit earlier than that. It's always a topic of conversation. Some people who don't even know what I do for work, I'm dropping my kids off at school or daycare and, you know, you get chatting to someone and next minute, oh yes, well, housing prices and this and that. It is always a topic of conversation. It's our national sport in some ways, I think. Unfortunately, it does just keep going and going. And my personal view, which I actually have written an opinion piece for View on this as well, is, yeah, we do need to look at our density issues and we do need to start thinking more and more about medium density housing so that we can have affordable housing in the places that people want to live and in the places that have infrastructure already there and not in the far-flung areas on the outskirts of our cities where we don't have trains and we don't have shops and we don't have schools yet, etc. It's a pretty sad state of affairs, really.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. Jemima Clegg in Melbourne, a freelance property journo. Thank you so much for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning. It is a Friday, so enjoy your weekend there in Melbourne.
Will do. Hopefully the rain doesn't wash us all away.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
And the final thrill for me was actually when the kitchen doors flew open because of the swaying of the building and I thought, I'm going to get out of here. And I went down to the ground floor lobby. There were about maybe 30 other residents there that were just hanging out because they were too scared and they just wanted to be with other people.
And Mario, let's come to you because surely something has to be done about the fact that stormwater pipes were never, ever put into Dubai. And the problem is, when it rains, the water's got nowhere to go.
dealing with the damage rather than spending the money in preventing the damage seems to be the order of the day, because Dubai doesn't have much in the way of drainage also, so there's nowhere for the rain to go. Because there's no drainage, the water just sits there in a pond and eventually seeps through, and that's why you get water pouring into houses and villas.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.